Many historians rank Genghis Khan as one of the greatest military leaders of all time. Rising from humble beginnings, he united the Mongol tribes and created an army that eventually stretched all the way from Asia to Europe. One of the reasons for his success was the training he designed for his warriors. He created systems that focused on rapid, decisive maneuvers, devised methods to maximize the skills of each army member, and placed a great deal of emphasis on endurance. The tests that Genghis Khan and his generals devised to train his troops and encourage teamwork have been studied for years, and many militaries, including the U.S. Army, have adapted it into something called the Mungadai.
In Army speak, we call it a Sergeant Major Day. And a Sergeant Major Day was going to be a test of how cohesive you really were, both physically, mentally, probably spiritually too.
Often, the training sequence goes all day and incorporates a wide range of events and tests.
You're going to be in full kit. It usually involves an obstacle course, some type of shooting event, long distance movement with carrying something. Hopefully, it's not the heaviest member of the team that gets put on the litter. And you're going to have to remember things along the way and be tested on it at the very end when you're exhausted.
And it often ends with a water test.
There's no way everybody on the team is going to be good at everything that's required of them that day. People that are uncomfortable in the pool and they don't want to go off the high dive in full kit or climb the fast rope back up in full kit or fill the 5-gallon water jugs up at the bottom of the 10-meter pool because they're not confident in the water. I'll tell you, water is definitely a humbling instrument. You can put the most confident athlete on land in the water, and you'll see some of the toughest people crumble.
And what is the end result?
A Mungadai or Sergeant Major Day builds people up. That's the magic piece in how he tested his special guard, his warriors, whether they were worthy. It's building cohesive teams. As a more senior leader, you're out there with your people. It's shared, a little bit of shared suffering. There's goodness in that. But again, it's building cohesive teams.
Person describing the elements and benefits of the Mungadai is SMA Michael Weimer. As a longtime member of the Special Forces, this training was a regular part of his life and helped him to become the leader he is today. In August of last year, SMA Weimer was sworn into his position as the Army's most senior enlisted leader, representing all soldiers in any issues that arise. The first 6 months of his tenure have been a huge learning experience for him, and he continues to travel around the world to talk with Army soldiers and improve their lives. In today's episode, our hosts sit down with SMA Weimer to discuss his Army career, the importance of having difficult conversations, and how daunting giving testimony to Congress can be. I'm Carrie Varoufakis, and this is Army Matters.
General Dynamics Land System. It's innovating command on the move with its next generation Stryker X. Currently in testing, the Stryker X is designed to serve as the Army's mobile command post on the battlefield of the future. Stryker X, taking command.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Army Matters. I am the 15th Sergeant of the Army, United States Army, retired Dan Daly, and I'm here with my good friend.
Yeah, your best buddy, Lieutenant General retired Leslie Smith, the 66th Inspector General. There's more Inspector Generals than have been Sergeant of the Army. Dan, why is that?
Because you guys get fired more often?
No, because we've been around a lot longer.
That's right. I forgot.
You know, you're supposed to be nice to me. We have a special guest today.
We do. An incredibly special guest.
I know.
Wait, don't say it. You always.
I'm not going to say his name.
Don't say it.
I just want to know, what are we calling you? I mean, I know he called you by your first name. I got to call you SMA because I'm afraid of Sergeant Majors, frankly.
We call him the SMA that's in seat. All the former SMAs call him SMA.
Okay, SMA. I call you SMA then.
All right, sir. I'm good with that. Just know when I get out, you got to call me Mike.
How about I call you Mike? I'm gonna go in between the two. How about that? Is that fair?
No worries. I understand the why behind it. It's a little weird. It's a little weird with my background.
Yes, sir. It's our job to support our SMA.
Yeah. It is our job to support our SMA.
Well, I think by now it's obvious who we're sitting down here with today. Let's welcome the 17th Sergeant Major of the United States Army, SMA Michael Weimer. SMA, welcome to the show.
Hey, sir. It's good to be here. It's an honor. SMA Daily, always good. It's been taking me a little while to get here, but it's an honor to finally be sitting here.
So, Mike, let's begin with a simple question. What surprised you the most about becoming the Sergeant Major of the Army?
Wow. You start off with a good one, sir.
Yeah,
that's good. Because again, nobody ever starts off thinking they're going to be the Sergeant Major of the Army. That's probably the first statement.
Yep.
Well, in the spirit of being, you know, ATQ, answer the question, I would have to tell you the scope.
Yeah.
The scope of responsibility when we say total Army, all three compos and their families, and then the responsibility we have to all the global combatant commands.
Yeah. So you've been in the position for a little bit now. What can you say has been your most challenging moment so far?
Wow, sir, there's been a couple, but I will just say my most recent one was probably testifying before Congress. You know, you do a lot of things as a sergeant major in your career once you become an E9 and then a command sergeant major.
Yeah,
but never do you testify. When the gavel drops and the questions start, it gets real.
Yeah. It's nice until the light comes on, the red light comes on. And it's an interesting discussion. And Dan and I talk about that periodically. I think sometimes we still have shudders from that. Isn't that right, Dan?
Oh, you have to experience it. And the prep. And you know, for our listeners out there, SMA had to go through what, 2-3 months of prep for that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
The Legifairs team did a great job prepping me. I think the 90-minute murder boards, when I'm the only one answering questions, might have been just as bad as the actual event itself.
Unless I could put a plug in for our listeners out there, you can go to C-SPAN and you can watch SMA's Weimer's recent testimony to Congress about the quality of life of our soldiers and their families across the Army, along with the other senior service advisors.
That's right. But we know SMA Weimer was the best. So.
Oh, he was.
We'll just leave that alone.
He was, by far.
So SMA, you spent most of your career in the Special Forces, or as we say, living in the shadows. Now you're a very public figure. What has been the most difficult part about being in the spotlight?
This has definitely been 180 degrees out from the majority of my career.
Yeah.
But I think the piece that's helped me along the way, and really watching SMA Grinston, especially coming out of COVID, understanding you represent the institution, right? Mm-hmm. You're the face of the institution, the non-commissioned officer, the family, everything we've already kind of talked about, which is why just even having this informal conversation with you today, there's always a little bit of, well, I want to represent well. And so that has really helped me transition from not even know how to spell social media to having a life in the public space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So SMA, you know, one of the biggest questions I always got from the soldiers was, how'd you become the SMA? You know, and there's really no real answer to that. But I want to give our listeners your story from the time you grew up. You're a third generation soldier, or maybe even more. That's what I captured from your thoughts today.
Yeah. I claim third.
Yeah, third generation soldier, and you're helping fill the fourth generation with your children too. So you're doing the Weimer family is doing their part for this country, and there's no doubt about that. But here's just for the soldiers out there, you have grown up and lived all throughout the Army, and now served throughout the Army. What is one of the most memorable duty locations you've ever served in, and why?
Oh, You allowing me to include my time as an Army brat?
Or let's focus on that first. How about when you just were an Army brat?
Yeah. I have to tell you, I have incredibly fond memories of living in Germany for almost 4 years in a little farm village outside of Würzburg, Germany. And I think half that time we were the only American family in that little farm village. It's unbelievable. I mean, I spoke enough broken German. It was safe. My mother used to give me all the Deutschmark in an envelope. I used to ride my bike to the landlord's house. We called them Oma and Opa. That's how I paid the rent. I mean, it was just a great experience as a dependent. And I lived in Europe three different times as a kid. I loved it. Wouldn't trade it in for the world.
Yeah. And most kids in America will never get that kind of experience.
Being an Army family is tough. If you want to talk about resiliency, bottle up an Army family and pass that out to folks, because you're going to understand what real resiliency is and what it means to be selfless servants. Our kids don't sign up, right? They get voluntold into the service. And I'll claim Kimberly and I must have done something okay, because both our kids want to serve in different capacities. So
yeah, that's incredible. Well, to me, it seems your parents did something right. Now, what was the most important lesson your father or even your grandfather taught you as a child?
That's easy. Both my grandfather and my father were officers. And I started off in that route, almost went down that path with a little bit of ROTC time at the Ohio State University. So there's another capital T for you. But they always talked about two things. One was people, relationships. When you sit around and you listen to all the stories, it's about people and the relationships and the bonds that are built in uniform. I don't care. Pick a generation. The greatest generation, my grandfather, all the way to my daughter's generation right now that she's getting, you know, as a 19-year-old starting her journey in the Army. It'll be about relationships. And they always talked about their NCOs. Whether it was my grandfather talking about NCOs from landing in North Africa for the invasion of North Africa or the invasion of D-Day, the non-commissioned officer always popped up in every war story. And then I lived with my father, who always prioritized his non-commissioned officer. He knew where the rubber meant the road. I specifically remember when he was a battalion commander. We always had NCOs over at our house.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, even here at AUSA, Les continues to lean on me every day.
Oh, I believe it.
Most everything.
I believe it.
And
just like in the Pentagon, I keep him out of trouble right here every day. You know how your inspector general helps you out?
Sure, I do. I absolutely do have a lot of time. My current teammates in the IG, Lieutenant General Martin and her Sergeant Major, are rock stars.
The Sergeant Major of the Army spends a great deal of his time representing Army soldiers around the world, sharing the great and important jobs they are doing. Here at Army Matters, we do the same, allowing people to give shout-outs to those who have aided them along the way, like this one, recorded at our annual meeting last October.
My name is Sergeant Brandon Krishnat. I am from Texas, and you know, it's also been a dream of mine to be in the Army. Staff Sergeant Bork definitely taught me the ropes and like how to like be a non-commissioned officer. So when I came from the Guard, when I came in, he gave me a shot compared to like other E6s at the time. So like he gave me the shot and I took that shot and I shined.
If you would like to give a shout out to someone in the Army family, leave us a voicemail at 703-236-2914 or email a voice note to podcast@AUSA.org.
So back on your career, SMA, many of our listeners know that you are aware of the coveted Green Beret. I'm told this is a desire that you had from a young age. That's actually inspiring to hear that. What put that desire in you? Why was it this quest to be a Green Beret?
Man, you really ought to ask my mom that question. She'd be the best person to answer that. But I will tell you, school was hard for me. I mean, I struggled. I wanted to be outdoors, anything but being locked up, cooped up in a classroom. And so somebody, and I don't know who, I wish I could give them credit, introduced me to fiction and nonfiction books on what we were doing and what the French were doing in Southeast Asia. And I fell in love with the special operations mission from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then that naturally led me to the Green Beret. Thank you, JFK. The Green Beret mission with the mountain yards in Southeast Asia. You want to talk about mission command, there's mission command. You want to talk about trust. Living with an indigenous people, literally freeing the oppressed, de oppressor liber. And so it goes all the way back to laying on my, in the quarters living room floor with a novel. And my mom was just happy I was reading. and that's how the journey started.
Wow. What was the most difficult part of your time being in the Special Forces SMA?
Most difficult time. So I would tell you, the late 90s, I struggled and almost got out of the service because I struggled with the mission. We were in South America. We were doing a lot of counter-narcotics missions. What we weren't doing was we weren't accompanying our partners that we were training out and actually doing the missions. It was all about the training. And we would actually return and you'd look at your class photo and some of the students you had in the previous class, they were deceased or missing because after you left, they were actually going out in the jungle and doing it for real. And I struggled with that a little bit. And so I will tell you, that was tough. And we relived a little bit of that in Iraq. And I relived a little bit of that again in Afghanistan. And so did you, both did.
Yeah.
That was really hard because you build real relationships back to the mountain yards in Southeast Asia. And you really want to be all in and committed with them. That's tough. That's real.
Absolutely. Now, you can't count your time as becoming the SMA, right? What was the single biggest highlight of your career?
Oh, man. This may be one of the most dangerous questions you've asked me yet, because there's going to be a whole bunch of people that get offended when I don't.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, put you on the spot, SMA. Got to put you on the spot.
Well, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble for this, but that's normal. When Zoe got her letter of acceptance into West Point.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's maybe it's a little, it's fresh in my mind because she's a plebe right now, but I'd have to say that one right now. You're holding my feet to the fire, so I'll give you that one.
Yeah. And that's Zoe, ladies and gentlemen, is SMA's daughter, who's serving, is creating the fourth generation of service in this family.
General Dynamics Land Systems continues to innovate its TRX robotic combat vehicle. TRX's best-in-class modularity has already allowed for successful integration of payloads, from SHORAD to engineering to loitering munitions. Look for TRX at exercises and experiments throughout 2024.
Welcome back to Army Matters. SMA Weimer, let's shift gears here a little bit. You talk about something called the Caring Equation. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Caring Equation, something I've been working on this for a little while. I'll tell you, there's something that the intangible that makes that leader. And that's how I've came up with the Caring Equation. It's not perfect, but it really goes like this. The bottom line is I can take all the training, all the PME. I can read all the Jim Collins books I want. I can do all that, self-study, all the degrees. And then I got to add that to whatever modeled behavior that I've been under in my life. Mm-hmm. But before I can get the sum of all that, I got to take that times a quotient of at least 0, 1, or 2. 0 is I don't actually care about people. And the last time I checked, because remember, I told you I struggled in school. Anytime I take something times 0, it equals 0. I can force more PME, but you still don't care about people, I'm going to get the same results. If I at least multiply it times 1, I get something on the other side of that equal sign, right? If I actually care about people, and this is where I think the intangible secret sauce is to the leaders that, you know, the leader that we talk about, Jim Collins would call it the level five leader. We don't know what it is, but people would do anything. They would storm hell with a water pistol. They just want to be there with you. I think that's a factor of two. Because in the end, 50 plus 50 is 100, and I multiply it times two because I care about people. That's the caring equation. And so if you want to get people to care by the time they're, we'll just say, a brigade commander or a brigade CSM, you better start very early in their career.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm big on model behavior. What kind of model behavior are they witnessing when they're a private or a lieutenant?
Yeah.
So let's talk about uncomfortable conversations. Mm. Talk to us about the importance of having those uncomfortable conversations and give us a moment that really taught you that lesson.
Well, first of all, I say it often, so I might as well continue to say it here. The sooner a junior leader becomes comfortable with the uncomfortable conversation, the sooner they'll become a better leader, period. I learned that by a very respected master sergeant that I had having a very uncomfortable conversation with young Staff Sergeant Weimer. My behavior was, at the time, I was being a little selfish. I was putting myself before the team, and I needed counsel, and I needed tuned up. And it was one of the toughest written counselings I've ever received in my life. Matter of fact, I'm using that example without even hesitating. It was that impactful. He took the time to type it out, took the time to give it to me with the commander, which added a little emphasis, and held me accountable. And he didn't waver in that uncomfortable conversation. I never forgot that. It had an impact on me. In our ethos, the sooner you have that, we would almost call it getting left of unacceptable behavior. That is unacceptable behavior in our culture as warriors. You got to get left. If you get left, sir, it becomes a coachable moment. If you don't get left and you allow it to build on itself, it potentially becomes a moment, and you know this from your former IG life and as a commander, it may become a moment that's no longer coachable. It may hurt your career, or it may hurt the organization, or completely cross over legal, moral, and ethical.
SMA, your time is precious, and it's best spent with our soldiers across the Army, so we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. We wish you all the best, and we hope you come back and talk to us again later.
It's been an honor. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dan.
General Dynamics Land Systems is at the leading edge of artificial intelligence, machine learning, predictive and prognostic maintenance, and software solutions for ground combat vehicles. Our goal is that U.S. soldiers never experience a fair fight. At GDLS, we're in innovation mode. To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Army Matters is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission, educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and supporters of a strong national defense. Today's episode was hosted by Lieutenant General Retired Les Smith and SMA Retired Dan Daly, and anchor hosted by Carrie Viral Heckes. Anthony Del Call is the producer and writer, and Andy Bosnack is the supervising sound editor. Ellen Toner is the content editor. Unzinga Curry is the executive producer, and the senior producers are Carrie Viral Heckes and LaSharon Duncan. Be sure to subscribe to Army Matters wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a review. As you know, we love seeing stars in the Army, especially if it comes in the form of a five-star review. AUSA's Army Matters podcast can also be heard on Reach Across America Radio on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, on the iHeartRadio app, the Odyssey app, and the TuneIn app with the search of the word REEF. AUSA's Army Matters podcast's primary purpose is to entertain. The podcast does not constitute advice or services. While guests are invited to listen, listeners, please note that you're not being provided professional advice from the podcast or the guest. The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of AUSA. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@ausa.org. I'm with Sharon Duncan. Hope you have a great Army Day. Hooah!